Hi, welcome to another episode of the Beyond Blocks podcast, a podcast about Drupal, PHP, open source, and related software development topics. I'm Oliver Davis. Today I'm joined by my guest, Gareth Alexander. It's great to have you on the show, Gareth. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. Pleased to be here.
Good. Can you share a little bit about yourself and what you do, buddy?
Absolutely. I'm a Drupal developer, have been for about 17 years now. Kind of working through a lot of agency work. Get to see a lot of things, a lot of variation. And I guess more recently, I've been coming involved with Drupal CMS. Got a bit of inside knowledge through being the track lead for the accessibility tools. And been watching with interest what's going on there.
Drupal CMS is a thing. I'm also familiar with it. I haven't had too much chance to get to play with it outside of some open source and some contrib time. But actually, sort of using it on a real sort of project, I guess. Haven't had the chance to do that yet. So really excited to see things like Drupal camps, like the one that was in Cambridge recently, and obviously watching talks like the one you gave for to sort of keep up to date with all the latest developments and things that, so I know then when I get a chance that that they're all there. So
Drupal CMS is an interesting one because obviously there's been, various companies over the years that have tried to showcase what Drupal can do. Lullabot brought out, I think it was an Octopus kind of video hosting thing way, way back. Acromedia brought out a commerce kind of thing. Obviously, this commerce Kickstart have done their own distribution to show off commerce. And even Drupal itself ships with Umami, which kind of shows off what Drupal can do. But I guess Drupal CMS is Umami plus plus. It's Umami was always just Drupal and what just Drupal can do. So I think with the idea with Drupal CMS is let's what can Drupal properly do if everything's included. You got a lot of best practices kind of coming through, and a lot of really cool ideas. One of my favorite things, I think I said it in my talk at Drupal Camp England, was I love unpacking what other people do, taking apart the commerce Kickstart and seeing how do they do that? What bits, what blocks fit together to get that together. I guess that's what got me really interested in Drupal CMS. Early on, I was like, recipes, what is this? I've got to jump on board quick so that it doesn't take off and then leave me behind. And when Drupal 8 happened, I guess I did kind of let it happen and then tried to catch up. And I thought this time I'm gonna ride that wave and go with it.
I think we've been around the same sort of time. At least I think your Drupal.org page is around about the same time as mine. So, was it Drupal 6 time or Drupal 7 time you sort of got started with it?
Yeah, I think in my very first install was still Drupal 5. Drupal 6 was there, but my first one, my first, I think my first paid for site was probably Drupal. It was just on the cusp of Drupal 7 coming out, so it was like cutting edge Drupal 7.
I remember those times. I think I was just on the edge of 5 to 6, and then built a project for set in 7. Whilst I was on an agency team, I was able to sort of figure it out based on what I already knew. But then, 8 was obviously quite different. But lots of new stuff to learn from there. Whereas now, I feel like I'm the one who's a bit behind in general, which is one reason why I like doing this podcast. I get to speak to people about interesting things, including Drupal CMS and recipes. So I guess the first big question is what is a recipe, in case anybody else like me doesn't really know.
Well, I guess simply put, it's a bunch of config that you can apply to your site. And I guess it's pretty much is meant to be, all the bits that you need to apply a new piece of functionality. So it's I guess you could liken it back to something like features, that kind of thing, without the incredible hang-ups that you got with features when you tried to reapply them, and there was these
Yeah, I'm writing.
conflicts and stuff like that. And if you tried to move features around, you ran into big problems. And I think with the idea with recipes is, you apply it to your site, and then you can take it off and throw it away, and then the recipe becomes a part of your site configuration, and then you manage it from there.
Yeah, I have fond memories of having like project specific deploy modules, which essentially had update hooks in them and were just basically running things like features revert over and over again. Yeah, so I remember that. Maybe not fondly, but it did the job.
And I guess the other approach was, writing a custom module that had all your config inside a wconfig folder, and you'd enable a module, and then all that config would unspill and apply itself. And
Yeah.
recipes are really taking over from that.
Yeah, so I think that's what features. So yeah, I guess so if anybody's not aware of that, yeah, features was a Drupal module, or it probably still is a Drupal module, that was, it seemed like intended to group, well, features or groups of configuration together. So like, if you wanted a website that had a news page, it would have all the configuration for the news article content type and the listing page and all that, so you could pre-package and pre-compile it. But it seemed to just become a deployment tool, really, from my perspective anyway. So people were mostly using it to what configuration management is now. So you, yeah,
Well,
wrap these
that's
things
it.
up into a feature and deploy it and revert it on each environment.
I think everybody that jumped in and thought, "Oh, this is great," thought, "I'll build an event calendar, and it'll have my event module with my dates all set up the way I like it. It'll have a view that has all this, and then what I can do is just copy it to all the sites that the or if a customer comes to me and says, I need an events bit of my website, you just go, there's my feature, I'll just drop it there, unpack it, and it'll run. And then I don't know that features ever quite delivered that kind of shareability.
That was the dream, I suppose. But
And
yeah, I
I
think.
think that's where recipes has taken that idea and reimagined it, I think.
Yeah, so I think configuration management, so being able to export configuration into files and then redeploy it, it's sort of what people are using the features module for. And then yeah, the other half of that I think is the configuration side, which is what seems to be like what recipes are trying to do. And yeah. Particularly if you're a freelancer or an agency or something, yeah. Oh, I'm going to make a one events module, and then we can reuse it on all my client sites potentially, and save time and save money for clients and everything else.
And
So.
then, yeah, I guess something like features, well, the events module is a bit broad, but there might be things that you want to do every time. Like, I run a really secure site, but there might be these non-functional requirements that you do apply. It's always going to have, some kind of, strengthened password setup. So you get your recipe that has, password policy module and auto logout and all this kind of stuff bundled into it, and you can just apply that to all your sites. So that I think rather than necessarily being events, which it usually there is a bit of input from your customer, or they might want something slightly different.
Yeah.
It's the stuff that they're not that bothered about, but are still important that you can roll out, but maybe aren't getting, any budget to actually implement. And you kind of go, well, I'm not going to deliver you a wide open site. I'll apply these things anyway, and hopefully it's going to save us time.
Yeah. I feel like, yeah, most places have been, when I was working agency side, a lot of them had almost their own sort of internal distribution, or maybe it was on Drupal.org as a project, but it was always Drupal plus these 10 modules that we usually use, whether it's password policy or something else. But yeah, they just came with such a big maintenance overhead that it needed to be maintained as its own product, as alongside client things, and usually got not forgotten about, but deprioritized as other client work came in, and then it also got out of date, and or became just too opinionated. It ended up trying to do everything for every project, and needed to arguably be a bit slimmer, maybe. So,
Or
yeah.
ironically, you had one client that came in and right, we're not going to use your own hosting. We've got our own hosting, and all of a sudden, all of these modules that you'd put in place, maybe like something like you've got your S3 buckets, all that bundled into your distribution, and you can't use any of it because actually none of those modules then apply to this new hosting service. Yeah.
Yeah, I think something you said in your talk, or someone said before, but the idea of features or recipes is that you can start on like floor 17 of the building rather than starting at the ground floor of the building.
Yeah.
So it just gives you that extra, like that better starting point rather than starting from absolute scratch every time, or absolute zero every time.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's what I'm kind of talking about when I say, all your password policy stuff, you don't need to spend days kind of configuring up all of this stuff that you do on every site. It's just done now. Well, hopefully.
Yeah, so I saw, I say, I was watching a talk with a couple of colleagues in the back, and it was, giving some ideas as we go through some of the examples. So some of the things I remember you mentioning, so there's some quite big things in there. Like I'm thinking about things like events and blogs, like those are big things, but there's quite a lot of smaller ones in there, if I remember rightly, like just adding things just for changing, like adding image styles or default image styles and things. So sounds like some of them are quite sort of small pieces and lots of little Lego bricks we can piece together, not necessarily giant features, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, and you do when you unpick it and you kind of look at what's happening, you do get new ideas. For example, I think Google Maps was always something that, if there was some kind of location-based stuff, it was always, well, let's just stick Google Maps in. But the Drupal CMS didn't want to stick with the API key that you need to pay for and stuff. So there was, other ways to do that and provide that functionality. And again, another piece is the cookie management using the Claro module. And it seems to do things quite nicely and on quite a granular level as well. So you can block out your map until you've clicked, yeah, I'll accept those cookies. Or there's YouTube. It's going to be blocked because you've said you don't want any cookies. But if you enable this bit, all of a sudden, that functionality works. And it seems to kind of handle stuff in a way that I hadn't seen before. So it was nice to kind of get new ideas about how to do things and not just rely on old faithful because that's what you always do.
Yeah, I've started a little what the work I've done looking at Drupal CMS. I've tried reverse engineering some of it already, and just looking at some of the modules that are already there, I feel like this obvious sort of ones people always want, things like redirect and path auto, and some of those ones that you need on like probably Canvas going to core potentially, but have never been added. But so it's been good to see some of those things going into Drupal CMS. But also, yeah, things like it's a Claro for cookies seems to be the popular one now, with some starting to think about adding that onto other projects. But yeah, interestingly, some funny ones I've been talking to people about on here before, about things like ECA and for event condition actions, and yeah, some really interesting things as well that seem to be taking off.
Yeah, and there's some nice SEO modules. I think there's two. There's a standard and an advanced, and some of the stuff that they're doing is really nice. They've bundled it all together and put it in a nice wee field set, and made that bit of the site look nice rather than what I'd always done in the past was maybe enable meta tags and then just left it wherever it landed.
Yeah, I think that was one of the ones I when you showed it about like SEO recipe or something. And I was like, oh, that's good. That would save me configuring probably five different modules here already. If it's gonna, yeah, I can just add that, and then, they're gonna be set up for me, potentially. So, yeah, I've looked at that one a little bit, but that's probably about all the ones I've really looked at. So.
Yeah, and it's such a changing landscape as well. I think there's work underway to unpack all of those so that once you've, if you did want to use the Drupal CMS SEO or advanced SEO recipe, you could use that and then use this unpack feature so that actually the composer stuff that's in the composer JSON file there becomes a part of your own project's composer, and it means you can actually throw the recipe away, and it's just becomes a part of your site. And there's infrastructure work going on as well, so that actually if you want to reuse just that SEO module, you should be able to do, composer require Drupal CMS advanced SEO, and then have just that recipe pull down. And obviously the dependencies, because it's probably, I'm trying to think, can't think off the top of my head what it relies on, but that is one of the things with the Drupal CMS recipes. They all seem to intertwine with each other, and you can't just have do events without doing the base page recipe as well. And
Yeah, they're all composer driven. Like, they've obviously, some of them are going to need modules, or most of them will probably need modules. Things like SEO is going to need meta tag and a path auto and things. But presumably, as well, if one relies on just a PHP library, because it's all composer driven, presumably you could install that as well. Potentially, if it's going to unpack it as well. Yeah. Yes. Interesting. Yeah, all the recipes I found, I think, are the ones I've seen in your talk, and maybe a couple of others. But in terms of where would you find, is there a list of these recipes somewhere? Are they on Drupal.org as projects, or where do you find them, I guess, is the question.
there is some becoming projects. I think, like I said, I think there's still work needed to be done for, you have your Drupal theme and your Drupal module kind of tag within Composer. I think the idea is that they will be, a Drupal dash recipe thing. I'm not sure that Drupal.org itself is just ready to kind of manage that packaging up of that itself, but certainly I think if I'm trying to remember what the website, what the actual page is. I did mention it in my thing, the recipes and distributions page on Drupal.org. I'm sure it has a list of some recipes on there as well.
Found a project called distributions underscore recipes. That's one that I found, but I didn't know if that was like an exhaustive list of all the recipes
Potentially, I think it's in the docs section,
that
extending Drupal recipes, and then down the bottom there's recipes cookbook, and there's some recipes kind of been put in there.
were there.
I think I'm pretty sure I saw that Commerce Kickstart, their latest release, is now recipe based as well.
Oh, cool.
So it'd be interesting, yeah, and it's one of these things that's on my to-do list to reverse engineer that and just kind of go in and go, right, how have they done it? Have they done it? This monolithic kind of distribution where all the recipes are in one, or are they doing it the way that I think it's hoped that it will be, that you'll have your site template installer, and then that will pull in, maybe your address module, your address recipe, or your products recipe, or and these will all be individual projects so that you can use them independently.
Yeah, I'd be interested to see that as well. Yeah, it seems like Centauro, or aka Commerce Guys, previous formerly known as Commerce Guys, have always been pretty, not ahead of, but like on the edge of best practice and things, because they were one of the first to start breaking down things into PHP libraries with things like the address library and then the tax and the VAT libraries that they wrote for commerce, and then started then making modules based on those libraries so they were reusable. So Yeah, maybe they've gone down the same route with this, but it would be interesting to go back and, as you say, reverse engineer it. I did see one for Tome, which is the static site generator module that you can plug in. There's a Tome recipe, I think, as well. There's definitely a like a distribution. I'm sure I saw a recipe there as well, whilst I was looking at it. But yeah, I think finding them, I guess, is the first thing to see what's available.
If I'm sure if you googled Drupal recipes cookbook, then the page and the documentation would pop up, and there's a bunch there. Canopy, I think, made a couple. And
Seems to be a theme going about, has it? But yeah, recipes and cookbooks, and is it umami is a recipe site. It seems to be some interesting terminology coming out of these. Maybe it's just coincidence.
yeah, and that was one of the things from a talk. I was like, oh, I could have great fun with this, but then I'm not a designer, so I couldn't make my talk look great, but I had visions of trying to find all the TV chefs and having each page, one with Jamie Oliver in some kind of funny pose, and then
That's funny.
or even the chef from the Muppets, just what's he up to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember working on the bakery module, which does all the single sign-on and cookies for Drupal. And yeah, that's an interesting one, because they're all named after different types of cookie and biscuit and things. And it's funny when you sort of look at it, but yeah, trying to actually work on it and maintain it, it's a bit tricky, because everything's got sort of interesting names, but it is quite nice to look at. It's probably not even used anymore, because it's all single sign-on now with something else, but there we are.
That was the other part of my talk. Was I thought, oh, this would be nice and calm, and all, there's only what, half a dozen recipes or something like that. And then there was, by the time I dug into it, I was like, wow, there's 23 recipes here. This, I don't know if I know enough TV chefs to kind of give each one a chef.
Particularly if some of them are like small ones, like Drupal CMS image that just adding image styles and things. You could probably get quite a few of those that are just
You
smaller.
say that's small, but the amount of breakpoints and the amount of image styles that are actually in there, there's loads. It sounds like I've got a little module, but it's actually quite weighty with the amount of config that actually gets kicked about with it. So.
Okay, yeah. I was thinking small in relation to like an events feature or a blog feature or something, but yeah, point taken. So yeah, if I was going to look in a recipe, we've already mentioned a couple of things, but like, how similar is it? Like, with a module, if I was going to write a module, for example, it would have like a config folder, and I probably potentially compose a JSON file and other things. Like, how similar is like a recipe in terms of that structure? Does it look similar, or is it completely different?
Yeah, it's not going to stretch you at all. The bare bones of it is a composer file, so that you get all the modules that you want in there. You've got a recipes YAML file, and you'll recognize YAML. Some of the naming conventions might need a wee bit, but there's a great documentation page for that in the recipes initiative. Thing that'll help you as well, and I guess reverse engineering some of these other ones will help as well. But essentially, that recipes YAML file is the instruction manual to kind of say, right, where you're putting in password policy, take its config and apply all of it, and then make this one wee tweak. And maybe in the installer it might say, oh right, you need an API key. There's stuff written within the recipes kind of framework to allow you to input an API key during the installation, and then that becomes part of your configuration that gets applied. So yeah, I think the AI stuff, when you apply that, you have to go off and get an API key from your AI provider and then apply that. So there's a bit in the installer that takes that key, and then and it allows you to choose whether you're choosing Anthropic or one of the others, and then apply the appropriate key, and then that becomes a part of your configuration, so that whenever it's finished installing, everything's actually installed. It doesn't leave you and kind of say, right, now that you've installed that, go to the config page and update it and add this stuff in. So it's quite nice. And the other thing that recipes can do is you can obviously bundle your own configuration files with it, if you want completely bespoke, or if most of it's kind of the default, you would just, apply the default ones and then update a couple of fields maybe. And there's clever stuff in there, like I said, where you can update config. And the other interesting thing is you can ship with it default content as well.
Okay.
And that was a part of what I did with the accessibility tools was, right, well, nobody uses, quite often, probably, yeah, there was some assumptions there that people might not know how to use editorially, for example. So I created this demo page that had a lot of accessibility issues in it. And then you could go to this page once it gets installed and literally just, the instructions say you need to change that header 3 to header 2 because it's out of sync. So you change it to header 2 and then you see the issue go away. And by the time you finish that page, you're pretty au fait with how editorially it works and how to make accessibility features go away, or accessibility issues, I should say, go away. Obviously there's tricky ones and that's only dealing with the content issues, but yeah, it's nothing that you won't have seen before, having
Should
worked
be
with Google.
familiar, I guess. Yeah, no, I was starting to think about some ideas like after whilst we were watching the talk. So I've got a Tailwind CSS base theme, not base, a StarterKit theme that I've just suited. I was using it for some client projects, so I've made like a starter kit for that. And then I started to think of a couple of other things. There's a channel on the Drupal Slack about it, and someone else has made like a module that does something. I can't remember exactly, I think, what it does now from the top of my head, but I was thinking, yeah, there's a few others, so it could even be like a little ecosystem around it. So I was thinking, yeah, that could be an interesting sort of recipe of something we could sort of build and sort of say, like, yeah, we'll install the base theme and install these other modules and configure them as well. Yeah, I was thinking about, I guess, migrate the podcast pages into Tome as well, soon. So yeah, I could make a little podcast recipe that has the content type and the fields, and starting to think then that maybe there's already a like a remote media recipe or something. There might already be some of the stuff already there. So I'll have to go and take a look and dig into it a bit further.
Yeah, this, and I think that's what I love about Drupal is, as soon as you learn something, you get ideas about what you want to do with it, and you're like, oh.
Yeah.
And I guess that's the biggest thing that I'm impressed with Drupal CMS. It seems to have reinvigorated the community quite a bit, and there's a lot of people really excited about what's happening.
It definitely seems like I've gone through the installation process once or twice, just test it out. But it is, yeah, quite different to what we've had there before. Like, I'm used to, when I first started, you do an install, and all you'd get was a page that said, "There's no content here," or "This is your front page," or something to that effect. Which I think Umami helped some of that, because you had some content and it looked good, like an actual site, so people could see. But yeah, I think like now it comes up and says, like, "Are you building a blog or an event site or something?" Start asking you questions about what type of thing you're building as part of the installer.
Yeah, so you can, you can bypass that and just get the plain old site. But if you want the events, you can enable them during the installation, or you can have events and the blog. Yeah, it is nice.
So those are those recipes then as well. Like, if you click on events, is it going to install like the Drupal CMS events recipe, or is that something else?
No, that's all. Yeah, that installer triggers all the events, and then obviously there's Project Browser as well, where you can go and anything that's in the Drupal CMS kind of ecosystem in the Project Browser, they're all recipes as well. So when you go in and get the accessibility tools, that gets enabled through the recipe. So it's, yeah, pretty nice.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I was when I started seeing that, I was starting to think it's almost like having different almost so obviously distributions is a word already, but like Symphony used to have different sort of versions of it for different things. So sound of thing, like, is it going down? Are we gonna have like Drupal events edition or something? But if it's all powered by these recipes anyway, then yeah, it's like it's the same core software, same program with these extra things on, so it makes it easier from a maintenance perspective, I guess.
Yeah, and the other impressive thing is it's been built with Drupalers in mind. So the installer, like you were talking about there, that's been built out into its own ecosystem, and you can now bring that into your own projects and then tweak it.
Okay.
So that if you want your own installer, then it's there for you to play with and tweak and customize.
That's cool.
So I think that's recipe installer kit, something like that.
That sounds interesting.
Which means you're absolutely right. If you wanted to do your own distribution that didn't end up looking like Drupal CMS and it had all different things, you might, want completely different events driven system. You might not want a start and an end date. You might just want this is happening on this day. And so, yeah, and rather than having to dig out and build something else, you just take the bits that you need and yeah, turn them into your own thing.
Yeah, particularly if you've got, yeah, think about it from an agency perspective. If you've got one sort of events recipe and different agents might want to work differently or different clients might want to work differently. So, yeah, it's having that flexibility, I guess, inside it. The other one I tried, I think, was Drupal CMS Admin UI. So I installed that and then it's installed quite a few things. I think it put, changed my admin theme, added. A few other things I can't remember, but yeah, I think like the only thing it added there's a coffee module, one that sort of makes a little pop up and things, and yeah, this is
That's
where I sort
nice,
of
actually. Yeah, I would tell you what it did, but I know for a fact that I've seen PRs recently go in and it's changed recently since my talk. So
yeah, I've tried it.
I'd be guessing if I knew now what it did. Pretty sure because
Yeah.
it was at one point it installed the dashboard module, and then I think it
Okay.
some shortcuts, and then they were removed and moved around and. Yeah, it was for a while quite a shifting landscape, and what you said 1 week about it was completely different to what you said the following week. So it was quite
Yeah.
nice when 1.0 came out. It was like, I'm going to base my talk on 1.0 because that cannot change now.
It's
Today
lots
it
to
might be
tide.
completely different, but at 1.0, this is what it did.
Yeah, I remember hearing from when Dries had first sort of announced like the whole startup initiative, the initiative itself, before it became Drupal CMS, and it was this big push on releasing something sort of quickly, iteratively, so the velocity it's had from so I can see why things would be still changing and everything else, but as a community, we seem to come up with these really good ideas, but also like technically sort of challenging ideas, or things like also recipes. But I'm thinking about the whole contrib credit system, and how that came about, and explained to somebody, I think it was a different CMS or something. I was explained to them how that worked, and they went, "Whoa, that's that, yeah." So yes, it will add it to that list of cool things as a community we've been able to think of and do.
And related to all that, the other thing that I think is coming out or is happening soon is, because obviously the idea with recipes is that you apply it to your site and then you chuck the recipe away. But at the moment, modules at least have the update module to kind of track, okay, oh, is there a new update for my Devel module? Yeah, well there is. And each time that does that, the Devel module will get a wee counter and kind of say, well, this is, there's 100,000 websites telling me that they need a new update or checking. And so you've got that update counter on those websites. And I think they're looking into a way to be able to track how many times has, the the events recipe being applied. And
Yeah.
so yeah, because that way we you I guess you do need that feedback if you're a module maintainer. Oh, this is this my particular recipe has been applied 200,000 times, right? I need to focus on this and make sure that it's
Yeah.
keep an eye on the issue queue. But at the same time, oh, I'm the only one that's ever installed this. You don't mind then, making changes and kind of iterating quite quickly on it because you're not going to affect anybody else in the world.
Yeah, I think I've worked on a couple of modules that on Drupal.org days with like the blue cheese theme, and that's one called Drupal customizations, or the Drupal module is only used on there. So I think they're probably the only ones like the least used modules, but probably some of the biggest in terms of actually getting used. But yeah, that was fun times as well. So yeah, I was going to ask a question. I think I know the answer to it because I've done it, but I don't know whether it's right or not. But all the recipes seem to be like Drupal CMS underscore something like admin UI or SEO or something. But yeah, my site's not Drupal CMS. My site is just running Drupal 11, I think, something and Tome. So I've been able to then compose a require the recipe for admin UI and then install it through Drush. But you'd mentioned about Project Browser or something as well. Like, so my presumably you can sort of apply these to just normal standalone Drupal as well. It doesn't have to be Drupal CMS.
Yes.
Or have I done something bad or something wrong?
That is a quick answer. I'm pretty sure you can grab that and compose or acquire it and then just apply it to your site. And I think yeah, they're specifically called Drupal CMS because they're built for Drupal CMS. And I think if you were going to create your own, module, you wouldn't use the Drupal CMS kind of prefix just to, because it's not a part of the Drupal CMS thing itself.
Yeah, I think the other ones you showed something to do with email, easy email or something as well. So those ones weren't Drupal CMS prefixed. But yeah, it just seems like the majority of the ones I've found so far are. But that probably makes sense, right? Because most of them have come out of Drupal CMS as the product rather than like standalone
Absolutely.
ones.
Yeah, they were written for Drupal CMS, but I think the easy email ones, they just pulled those in. But then I think Drupal 11 now is based on recipes, so the standard install is also
Okay.
recipes. So, you could in essence go in and have a look at the article recipe and recreate that as blog if you wanted to. And I'm sure a bit of find and replace on the term article would probably get you most of the way there to creating your own, content type.
Yeah, that's interesting for me to think about is the sort of relationship with Drupal core as its own thing, and then Drupal CMS, and obviously CMS is built on top of Drupal, but then to see some of those things then go back into core potentially, like you say about the installer, yeah, that's really interesting to see how the two can sort of to enhance or benefit or sort of help each other sort of grow. Obviously they're intertwined because one is based on the other.
And I guess that's the kind of, it's a pattern that you have seen in the Drupal world when you've been in it as long as probably we have. You do see things like, the book module drops into core and it's part of core and then becomes a part of contrib, and there's other modules that get brought into core and moved out. And
Yeah.
so I'm sure some of these things might drop in and drop out.
Yeah, no, that is if 11 is built on recipes as well, then yeah, that's definitely gonna be something to look at. And I think just keeping up to date with all the new stuff that's coming in is a task on its own. I was looking at Drush Deploy, I think it was. So I was like, and then, yeah, there's like a new thing that's in Drupal 11. It's got a cache warm function or something else new that's going on. So yeah, it's great. There's all this new stuff coming in, but yeah, just need to keep on top of it as well.
Set. Yeah. It's a pick your battle thing, you know. What do you want to keep up with? Because you can't keep up with it all.
Yeah, I said it before, but to my boot camp mentees, but I was giving a talk after I went to meet up and gave a talk, and then I got asked to go give a talk to a group of students at college. And yeah, saying I said to them as well, I think the best or one of the best and worst things about software or web development, this is always new things to be learning and keeping up to date with. And yes, that can be a job on its own, just keeping up to date with these new things. And yeah, there's a new JavaScript framework every other week, and a new yeah, there's always stuff to keep on top with on top of even. So yeah, the other thing I was sort of thinking about is about contributing, because obviously modules and themes, we can go to Drupal, or we can make a new sort of contrib module or something like recipes a thing that, at least as far as you're aware, like things that people can contribute back and want to start releasing. Because I don't, maybe I'm just looking in the wrong place, but I'm not seeing, a lot of them as there are modules. Or is that just because they're still quite early days yet?
It is early days, and I think the infrastructure is catching up. But certainly I think the recipes cookbook that's on Drupal.org is where recipes are being contributed at the moment. And so if you came up with a great new recipe tomorrow, or an idea for one, then you could easily stick it into that page and just release it. By the looks of it, some of them have been. Some of those ones in particular have been created in Bitbucket and GitHub and just shared there. But like I said, I think, I do need to dig a bit more into it, but certainly Commerce Kickstart have created those as projects. I think some of their recipes are now projects themselves. And so you can, compose or acquire them, and that'll go to the Drupal.org website and pull down the Git code. And yeah, if you want to tweak those, there's issue queues for most of those as well. Yeah, I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I'm not sure what the recipe cookbook, whether they, I don't know whether they use Drupal.org to track the issues for those, or whether, if it is on Bitbucket or GitHub, whether they're using the issue queue over there to do it.
Yeah, saw that with distributions a bit, wasn't it? I think some of the distributions that were on GitHub or somewhere else for a while because of CI limitations or something, but I think the engineering team have been working on that.
Yeah,
So
certainly,
maybe.
certainly the idea is that you'll be able to have your own Drupal dash recipe kind of project type.
Yeah, that's something to reverse engineer to go back through our sort of composer integration thing on Drupal.org. There's a yeah, that's an interesting one. If you want something to reverse engineer, then yeah, that's one that my own is just looking at. So, yeah, again, I think you've already sort of mentioned it actually, but I was going to ask about like one of the things with features again. I think it was updating them, but I think it's. With this, it sounds very much like a you install it once and then it's yours option. But I think someone said you could sort of uninstall recipes as well. So how sort of couple, like once you've installed it, like is it now sort of yours forever, or does it need updating over time, or is it something you can remove? I mean, you locked into it once you've installed it, I guess is the question.
Well, no, because once it's installed, the config it's I guess it's like that config management. You have to run Drush config export to turn the configuration into a YAML file. And I guess likewise, if you apply the recipe and then remove all that code, you don't have to ever apply it again. And if the recipe updates, you've already got most of that config in your site, so it might be just quicker to kind of just go, well, what's it changing? Oh, right, it's increased the number of watchdog logs from 10,000 to 100,000. Okay, well, I can just do that and then export my own config, and I've got that change myself. Yeah, there might be some fundamentally bigger changes, but I think that the caveat with that is if you re-download something, like maybe you've applied the events module, and then you've gone in and you've kind of went, well, actually I'm going to tweak all this stuff and make my own changes to it, and then some point down the line you find out that the events module has been updated and it's added this great new, an extra view that, I don't know, but I can't think of something. It's now got export to iCal features added or something, and you go, I want that as well. If you reapply that recipe, it might undo all your changes. So I guess at that point, you've got your changes in config management, and you do Drush export, and you kind of go, right, show me the diff. Oh, actually, there's a lot of changes. And I guess you probably could go and try and, pick through the changes and revert those that you didn't want to update. But it might be a bit of a tricky process.
Yeah, and it sounds like that's why we mentioned about the installer. So it's going to ask whether you want to install essentially the events recipe and or the case study recipe. But it sounds again like I've done it. I did it on my Tome one. That yeah, you can install these at whatever point as well. It's not just an inst it's not just during the installation phase.
Yeah, and I think the caveat is, if you've got existing config, it will probably overwrite it rather than
That's true.
update it. So it might do undo stuff. But like, I think enough people have been asking that same question that at some point somebody's going to come up with the answer, and it's going to be, I don't know that there'll be a, oh, you've got your date format different. Do you want to actually update the date format? I don't know if it'll ever get to the point where it allows you to go line by line through the config that's being changed, and yes, I want that config. No, I'll ditch that one. No, yes, I'll ditch this one. It's
Yeah, I guess, yeah, if I've got, let's say, Path Auto module installed and then I install a recipe that has Path Auto, yeah, is it going to just override everything or is it going to, I guess, potentially, if you're saying it like it can ask you for things like your API key, then potentially it could prompt you and say, hey, you've already got this module. Do you want to override it or something? But yeah, well, that would be interesting. Yeah, think that's something to be aware of anyway, for sure.
But if you haven't got an events content type and your site's churning away, and you go, actually, I want an events content type, and then I want a view that will show me all my upcoming events and my past events, you could download the events module, apply the recipe, and as long as it's not conflicting with any existing,
If it's not conflicting, then yeah, it should be fine in theory, I guess.
Yeah, install it at any time. It doesn't need to be site install stuff.
Cool. Okay, I'm gonna check out the recipe cookbook, and I'm gonna check out the kickstart recipe. Yeah, do some of my own reverse engineering as well. See what's there.
And the other page is it's a project, distributions underscore recipes.
Cool. Yeah,
It's
I'll
a
put.
recipes initiative page, and halfway down there, you've got the recipe developer documentation and the recipe author guide, which are great things for getting you started. And in that, yeah.
Yeah,
And
I'll
there's
take
also
that.
a link to the recipes cookbook where you've got, right down the bottom, you've got some of the other projects. So you've got recipe generator, which will allow you to kind of take, I've built this fantastic feature. I want to create a recipe from that. It'll help framework the your own recipe from existing code.
Oh, that's cool. So if I was going to build my content podcast content type and then build the view and the feed and everything, I could then essentially export it into a recipe using some of that. That's cool.
And I'm imagining at some point there'll be, that features kind of functionality where you can go in and you can go, right, include the content type, include the path alias. You could tick the bits that you wanted to export to your feature. That was always the nice bit. I'll include all that, but I don't want, this and this and this.
Flashbacks Just going down memory lane about how features work. Yeah, it's been quite a while since I've done that. One of the questions, I guess, the some well, one of the questions somebody else asked you at the end of your talk as well is about quality control of recipes, and you mentioned about gates and this working group and to be able to include certain things or not. I'd imagine trying to put things into a core recipe to go in Drupal core is going to be have quite a tight quality control sort of procedure around it and everything as well. But what about if, yeah, I guess if there is an actual project type on Drupal.org eventually, I think the question then was about how do you quality control that? But I guess the same question applies to all the other modules and themes on Drupal.org. How do you make sure that they all work as well?
100%.
So.
You know, you've got the what is it? Bad idea project. What was that project called? It was, I can't remember what it was. It was just it opened up everything, and it was, you know, it even said this is a bad idea to install this
I
module.
remember something like that. Yeah, I'll Google it quickly. I'm sure.
I'm sure there will be, but I guess the,
Bad judgment module.
there you go.
Yeah. I'll put a link to that in the page as well.
I think the hope is that, all these recipes will end up on Drupal.org. You can go to your, source code, have a look before you even consider downloading it. There's always, with Drupal, there's always a bit of due diligence need to be done. Go and look in the issue queue, and if there's 200 complaints about the fact that they've nicked your email address and sold it to, another spammer, then be aware that there's dragons there. But
Yeah.
that's the beauty of open source. You get it for free, but there's always kind of, it's not free from consequence. You have to kind of do a bit of due diligence and look and have a look at the source code and just make sure that you kind of understand what it's doing and make sure that it's not doing crazy stuff.
Yeah, I'd recommend that anyway if you can. Yeah, go and read if you can read the source code. Read the documentation and avoid any sort of alpha versions of things, the general sort of best practice ideas.
And it's been a strange one because there's been modules that were absolutely, rock solid in Drupal 7, but maybe the maintainer hasn't fully upgraded to Drupal 8 yet, and you go, right, I'm going to install this because it worked brilliantly, and then you put it in and you go, hang on, none of the features, there's only 3 of the 10 features have been actually ported up to Drupal 8. Or
Yeah,
maybe
there's also the similar thing of people sort of being reluctant to tag 1.0 stable versions as well, and I think that's a common sort of open source thing is, yeah, we'll leave it as beta 53 or something, whatever number it is, rather than tagging a stable 1.0. But yeah,
Yeah, I'd
still
like
some
the
modules
team.
like that.
I'd love it if the security team took this on and recipes became like another like a standard project, and they'd have security coverage as well. But I'm guessing, hopefully, it'll just be a case of, well, I'm just applying 2 or 3 modules and some config. So, I guess that technically the security issues is in the modules that are being applied, rather than, hopefully there's no module that you can kind of, right, I'm going to configure this so badly that it opens up my website to absolutely everybody.
Yeah.
There's, yeah, none of this is going to, all of a sudden email out your passwords to everybody, I don't think. So.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of is there a situation where you could have like a view that gives access to everybody that shows all your PHP info information or something? I think that seems a lot less probable than yeah, like I said, I think the actual security of the modules themselves would be done on the modules, not necessarily on the recipe. But
Yeah, well, I
yeah, that's
suppose
an interesting discussion.
thinking about it, I suppose there might be a way that you could, well, I don't even know if you could change the configuration of the user view so that it's visible to
Potentially.
dedicated visitors. But I think there's even stuff within views that, this is an admin route, so it needs to have that level of login, at least.
Yeah, I guess similarly, I guess tests or like any sort of automated tests would go into the module that you're installing.
100%.
Like if you're going to add path auto and let's say redirect, they can have their own tests, or do recipes have their own sort of recipe level tests as well?
There is recipe level tests, but they test whether or not, the recipe gets applied rather
Okay.
than let's test the functionality that is applied. Because like you said, if your recipe's installing Path Auto, then it will have tests and it should. If you run your tests on that, then that will tell you whether or not it's breaking your site or hopefully.
Hopefully, that'd be a good idea. Yeah. Cool. Well, I'll put a link to your talk from Drupal Camp in there as well. You mentioned Project Browser. So, is it's again, something I'm not really looked at. But is that the way if people want to start, exploring recipes or adding them onto a site, is to go through Project Browser? Is that the way to start?
I'm gonna say pass on that
Okay.
one.
Interesting.
Because I'm not
I
sure
don't
how
know. Yeah.
to browse recipes. I think the recipes cookbook's the best place. Project
Okay.
Browser will grab all the modules from Drupal.org. And I haven't looked at it recently enough. I know there was a plan in place. This auto update kind of project that's going on where you can actually kind of go to Project Browser and go in there and maybe look and say, oh, there's the Devel module, I want that installed, and then
Oh,
click
okay.
have it become a part of your site through that one click. I don't know the status of that. At the There was various bits where I saw that working, and the one time that I got involved and kind of looked into it, there was, it you would click on it and it would give you the composer require command that you needed to then take, and this is how you get Devel into your site. But I have seen, work done where, there might be a patch created that can get pushed to your repo, and
Okay.
And I think the other idea was what WordPress do, where you can click the button, and as long as there's, your site has FTP access to your system folders, then it will download and unpack the module itself. So yeah, I don't know what the current state of that is. It's
Okay.
changed quite a few times when I was looking at it. So
Oh, cool. Okay, so recipe cookbook, it sounds like it's the place to go then,
I think so.
to find out more. Of course, yeah, I'll link to that then, we'll put link to your talk, but like you said, there's probably another 100 recipes since you gave that talk. But that was a lot of
I don't know that they're
good
adding too many
conversation there.
more recipes, but they certainly have updated the existing ones.
Okay.
So yeah, I'd probably need to rewrite my talk.
Yeah, the thing
Interesting.
about giving talks, you need to update them as well to make sure that they're still correct and relevant. But
And
no,
obviously,
it's
there's a recipes Slack channel as well on the Drupal Slack. There's usually quite a lot going on in there.
Yeah, it's cool. I need to get. I don't spend because I don't use Slack for work anymore. I don't open it as much as I should, or as often as I would have done. So, yeah, I do need to get back in Slack a bit more. So yeah, this has been a great conversation. I think I've learned a lot more about recipes. I did watching your talk first of all, and yeah, you've clarified a few things to me now, which is it's been great. If people want to follow up with you with questions, where can people find you online?
Well, yeah, I tend not to stray too far into social media or anything, but yeah, I'm usually on the Drupal Slack, probably hanging around in the accessibility channel in there, or even, I browse recipes and obviously Drupal UK.
Awesome. Thank you very much for your time, for joining me today. And thanks, everybody, for listening to the Beyond Blocks podcast. I'm Oliver Davis.